أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
After reciting the Tashahud, Ta'awuz and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih V, Ayyadullah Ta'ala ibn Aziz stated, Accounts relating to the expedition of Raji were previously being related. There are further details of which have been recorded in the Ahadith and books of history. In Sahih al-Bukhari, details in relation to the expedition of Raji have been recorded in the following manner. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent 10 individuals on a reconnaissance mission, and he appointed Hazrat Asim bin Thabit Ansari as their leader. They departed and travelled until they reached Hada, a place between Asfan and Makkah. This news reached a branch of the Hudayl tribe called the Banu Lihyan. Subsequently, about 200 men from the enemy tribe who were expert archers, set out to encounter these Muslims. They followed their tracks until they found the place where they had eaten dates. The provisions they had brought with them from Medina. The Banu Lihyan said, These are the dates of Yathrib, i.e. Medina, and continue to follow their tracks. When Asim and his companions saw them, they took refuge on a hill. The enemy encircled them and said, Come down and surrender to us. We promise not to kill any one of you. Asim bin Thabit, the leader of the expedition, said, By God, as far as I am concerned, I will not come down under the protection of a disbeliever. He then supplicated, O Allah, convey our circumstances to your Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The enemy then fired arrows at these companions and killed 7 of them, including Hazrat Asim. 3 men came down after accepting their promise. Among them were Khubayb Ansari, Ibn Dathina, and another individual by the name of Abdullah bin Tariq. The enemy captured all 3 of them. They removed the strings of their bows and used it to tie them up. Upon this, the 3rd individual said, This is the first betrayal. By Allah, I will not go with you. There is most certainly an example among these, i.e. the martyrs. They dragged this companion and forced him to go along with them. However, he refused, as a result of which they martyred him. They took Hazrat Khubayb and Hazrat Ibn Dathana with them and sold them in Mecca. Hazrat Khubayb was bought by Banu Harith bin Amir bin Nawfal bin Abd Manaf. It was Hazrat Khubayb who killed Harith bin Amir on the day of Badr. Hazrat Khubayb remained as a prisoner in their custody. This narration is from Sahih al-Bukhari. According to the narration of Sahih al-Bukhari, a group of 10 companions set out secretly for reconnaissance, and recognizing the date stones to be from Yathrib, a woman raised a hue and cry, and the enemy launched an attack on them. However, most historians say that this group was prepared to investigate the surrounding areas, but they had not yet set out when the Holy Prophet dispatched this group along with the delegation that came. In relation to this, Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib radiallahu anhu have also analyzed this from various books of history and stated that this group went with the people of this tribe. Therefore, it seems that there have been an error on the part of the narrators in Bukhari or in other biographies in which there is mention of them traveling in secret, because there was no longer any need for the party to remain hidden, as they were going with the people of Adal and Qara tribes. It can, of course, be considered that when they reached between Asfan and Makkah, as part of their plot to capture them, the tribes of Adal and Qara, who had brought them as part of the wider ploy, broke their oath, and in line with what they had already planned, they informed the Banu Lihyan, who came with 200 armed men. Allah knows best. In any case, the 200 people of the Banu Lihyan, 100 of whom were expert archers, launched an attack and surrounded the companions. When the chief of the group, Hazrat Asim bin Thabit, and his companions came to learn about these people, they climbed up a mountain called Fadfad. According to another narration, the name of the mountain was Qardad. The idolaters surrounded the companions and said, "If you climb down to us, we will make an oath not to kill any one of you. By God, we do not desire to kill you. Our only wish is for the Meccans to gain something through you." Upon this, Hazrat Asim said, "By Allah, I will not climb down to take refuge with any disbeliever. I have made a firm resolve that I shall not accept taking refuge in any disbeliever as long as I live." The other two companions alongside him gave the same answer, saying, "We will never accept the oath or promise of a polytheist." Thereafter, Hazrat Asim supplicated, "Allahumma akhbir anna nabiyyak," meaning, "O Allah, inform your prophet about our condition." Subsequently, a fight ensued between them. The leader of the group, Hazrat Asim, displayed immense bravery and courage and recited couplets, the translation of which is, "Why should I lay down my arms when I am a valiant and skilled archer and the string attached to my bow is strong? From the midst of this bow, mighty arrows, sharp as razors, are shot at great speed. Death is inevitable, and this world is futile. Whatever God Almighty has decreed for man shall surely come to pass. It is to Allah alone that mankind shall return. If I do not fight you, then may my mother be bereft of me." This was the translation of these couplets. All of the companions bravely took a stand against the enemies and continued to challenge them. Hazrat Asim showered arrows on the enemy until he ran out of arrows. He then continued to fight with a spear in hand until it broke, and only his sword remained. When he was certain he would be martyred, he became worried that he would become exposed, because the enemy would trample over them and unclothe the bodies of those they martyred. In that moment, he beseeched God, "Allahumma hamaytu dinaka awwal an-nahar, fahmli lahmi akhira," meaning, "O Allah, from the start of the day I have protected your religion. Now at the end of the day, protect my body." Completing this prayer, he became engaged in battle once more. He severely wounded two people and even killed another with his sword. Eventually, his end drew nigh and he was martyred. The other six companions also attained the lofty station of martyrdom. Whilst mentioning this incident, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib radiallahu anhu stated, In the month of Safar 4 Hijri, the Holy Prophet assembled a party of 10 companions, appointed Asim bin Thabit as their Amir, and ordered them to secretly go towards Mecca and obtain intelligence with regards to the Quraysh, and then inform him about their plans and motives. However, this party had not yet departed, when a few people from the tribes of Adl and Qara presented themselves before the Holy Prophet and said that many people from among their tribes were inclined towards Islam, and that the Holy Prophet should send a few men with them who could convert them to Islam and educate them. The Holy Prophet ﷺ was happy to hear their request, and the same party which had been assembled for the reconnaissance mission was sent off with them instead. However, in actuality, as was later discovered, those people were liars and had come to Medina upon the incitement of the Banu Lahiyan, who sought revenge for the execution of their chief, Sufyan bin Khalid, and had thus contrived the plan that when the Muslims come out of Medina on this pretense, they would attack them. In lieu of this service, the Banu Lahiyan promised the people of Adl al-Qara a hefty reward of many camels. When the treacherous people of Adl al-Qara reached between Asfan and Mecca, they secretly sent word to the Banu Lahiyan that the Muslims were accompanying them and that they should come as well. Upon this, 200 young men from the Banu Lahiyan, 100 of whom were archers, set forth in pursuit of the Muslims and subdued them at a place known as Raji. But how could 10 men compete against 200 warriors? The Muslims, however, had not been taught to throw in their arms. The companions immediately ascended to a nearby hillock and prepared for battle. The disbelievers, who did not consider deception as being reprehensible, called out to them and said, "Come down from the mountain. We give you a firm promise that we shall not kill you." Asim responded, "We have no confidence whatsoever in your treaties and agreements. We cannot descend on your guarantee." Then he raised his head towards the heaven and said, "O God, you are witnessing our state. Do convey knowledge of our condition to your messenger." Hence Asim and his companions stood and fought and were finally martyred in battle. How was Hazrat Asim bin Thabit's body afforded divine protection? He prayed earlier for Allah the Almighty to protect his body. Regarding this, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib radiallahu anhu writes, "In the context of this very incident of Raji, a narration has been related that when the Quraysh received news that Asim bin Thabit was also among those who had been martyred at Raji at the hands of the Banu Lahiyan, since Asim had slain a principal chieftain of the Quraysh, they especially sent some men towards Raji and emphatically instructed them to return with the head of Asim or another part of his body so that they could put to rest and their thirst for revenge could be quenched." It is related in another narration that the mother of the person whom Asim had slain had vowed that she would drink alcohol in the skull of her son's killer. And she had placed a reward of 100 camels to the one who would bring his head. They were prepared to go to this extent in order to quench their thirst for revenge. However, the power of God was such that when these people arrived, lo and behold, they found swarms of hornets and male honeybees resting upon the body of Asim, and they would not budge. These people tried their level best to send off these hornets and bees, but no attempt proved successful. Finally, with no other choice, they returned frustrated and unsuccessful. Soon after, a storm of rain came and took the body of Asim elsewhere. It is written that upon accepting Islam, Asim vowed that he would completely abstain from anything that was polytheistic, to the extent that he would not even touch an idolater. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was informed of his martyrdom and of this occurrence in particular, he said, "Look how beautifully Allah guards the emotions of his beloved servants. He fulfilled the vow of Asim even after his demise and safeguarded him from the touch of idolaters." Hazrat Asim was also called Hamiyud Dubur, meaning the one who is protected by hornets or honeybees. Since God Almighty protected him after death through hornets. Then the martyrdoms of Mu'tab bin Ubayd and other innocent victims were mentioned. While fighting, Hazrat Mu'tab bin Ubayd incurred a great number of injuries. The enemy forces got hold of him and martyred him. Five other companions who were fighting valiantly were also martyred by a flurry of arrows, and thus a total of seven companions were martyred. Now only three companions remained on the battlefield, Hazrat Khubayb bin Adi, Hazrat Zayd bin Dathana, and Hazrat Abdullah bin Tariq. The disbelievers gave them an oath of safety, saying they will not harm them. They said, "Surrender yourself to us." Hearing this, the companions came down from the hill. When the enemy subdued them, they unfastened the cords of their bows and tied up the companions. Abdullah bin Tariq expressed that this was the breach of their truce, saying, "By God, I shall not go with you. Following in the footsteps of my martyred brothers is preferable to me." The enemies tried their best to force him along with them, but Abdullah bin Tariq refused to do so, and thus they martyred him as well. According to some narrations, the disbelievers were on their way to Makkah after taking all three companions captive. Their captors sought to sell them to the Meccans. When their caravan reached a place called Marr al-Zuhur, situated 23 kilometers north of Makkah, Hazrat Abdullah bin Tariq managed to break free of his hand tie and readied himself for a skirmish with his sword drawn. When the enemy witnessed his deep passion for fighting, they backed away, casting rocks at him from afar instead, until he too was martyred. His grave is in fact in Marr al-Zahran. Regarding this, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib has written, "When seven companions had been put to death, and only Khubayb bin Adi, Zayd bin Dathana, and another companion were left, the disbelievers, whose actual desire was to capture these people alive, called out again and said, 'There is still time, come down, and we promise not to cause you any harm.' This time, these innocent Muslims fell into their trap and descended. However, as soon as they stepped down, the disbelievers tied them up with the strings of their arrow bows. Upon this, the companion of Khubayb and Zayd, whose name has been recorded in history as being Abdullah bin Tariq, could not restrain himself and called out, 'This is your first breach of agreement, and who knows what you shall do hereafter?' And Abdullah refused to continue along with them. For some distance, the disbelievers dragged Abdullah along, beating and assaulting him, and then killed him and left him for dead. Moreover, now that their revenge had been sought in order to please the Quraysh, and also in greed of money, they took Khubayb and Zayd and made way to Makkah. Upon reaching there, they sold both of them to the Quraysh. As such, Khubayb was purchased by the sons of Haris bin Amir bin Nawfal, because Khubayb had slain Haris in the Battle of Badr, and Zayd was purchased by Safwan bin Umayyah. Hazrat Khubayb bin Adi and Hazrat Zayd bin Dathana were captured by the idolaters and taken with them to Makkah. Upon reaching Makkah, both companions were sold. As mentioned earlier, that the sons of Haris bin Amir bought Hazrat Khubayb bin Adi in order to revenge for their father, who was killed on the day of Badr by Khubayb. According to Ibn Ishaq, Hujair bin Abu Ahyab Tamimi bought Hazrat Khubayb. He was the confederate of the sons of Haris. And Haris' son Uqba bought him from him in order to avenge the killing of his father. It is also reported that Uqba bin Haris bought Hazrat Khubayb from the Banu Najjar tribe. According to another report, the sons of Abu Ahyab, Ikrimah bin Abu Jahl, Akhnas bin Shariq, Ubaidah bin Hakim, Umayyah bin Abu Utba Hadrami, and also Safwan bin Umayyah bought Hazrat Khubayb. All of these individuals were those whose fathers were killed during the Battle of Badr. All of them bought Hazrat Khubayb and gave him to Uqba bin Haris, who imprisoned him in his home. Ibn Hisham says that they sold Hazrat Khubayb and Hazrat Zayd bin Dathana in exchange of the prisoners of Hudayl, who were in Makkah. According to one narration, Zayd was sold for one mithqal of gold, and according to another narration, he was sold for 50 camels. And Hazrat Khubayb was also sold for 50 camels. According to some other narrations, Hazrat Khubayb was sold for 100 camels. And in other narrations, it is reported he was sold for 80 mithqal of gold. It is reported that some of them were also from among the Quraysh, and they took both Hazrat Khubayb and Hazrat Zayd bin Dathana, and they entered the month of Dhul-Qadah, and they were kept as prisoners till the sacred months passed. In the previous sermon, I explained in detail about the sacred months. Ibn Ishaq and Ibn Sa'd state that Hazrat Zayd was bought by Safwan bin Umayyah so that he could kill him in order to avenge for his father, Umayyah bin Khalf. Safwan later became a Muslim. He kept him as a prisoner with the people of the Banu Jumah, and it is also reported that he kept him as a prisoner with his servant, Nastas. When the sacred months passed, Safwan sent his servant, Nastas, towards Tan'im. Tan'im is approximately 3 to 4 miles from Mecca in the direction of Medina and Syria. In any case, he was taken out of the Haram in order to kill him, and a party from among the Quraysh also gathered there. Among them was Abu Sufyan bin Harb, and just as when Zayd was about to be killed, Abu Sufyan said to him, "O Zayd, by God, does your heart not desire that on this instant, in your stead Muhammad was in our hands, and we would kill him, while you would be with your family?" Hazrat Zayd replied, "By God, I would not even prefer for a thorn to prick the foot of the Messenger of Allah in the home where he resides, in exchange of me being with my family." Upon this, Abu Sufyan said, "I have never seen any individual love another person as much as the companions of Muhammad love Muhammad." Thereafter, Nastas killed Hazrat Zayd. According to another narration, some of the members of the Quraysh also joined and shot arrows at him until he was martyred. Later, Nastas, who killed Zayd, also became a Muslim. Ibn Uqba has narrated that Zayd and Khubayb were both martyred on the same day. The day they were martyred, the Holy Prophet ﷺ was heard saying, "Wa alaykum as-salam. May peace be on both of you as well." Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib mentions this incident as follows. Safwan bin Umayyah took his prisoner Zayd bin Dathana outside the Haram. A crowd consisting of the chieftains of Makkah accompanied him. Upon reaching outside the Haram, Safwan ordered his slave Nastas to execute Zayd. Nastas stepped forward and raised his sword. At this instant, Abu Sufyan bin Harb, the chieftain of Mecca, who was also among the spectators, stepped forward and addressed Zayd, saying, "Tell the truth. Does your heart not desire that on this instant, in your stead, Muhammad was in our hands, and we would execute him, while you would be spared to spend days of joy with your family?" The eyes of Zayd began to gorge with blood in rage, and he furiously retorted, "Abu Sufyan, what nonsense do you utter? By God, I would not even prefer that in lieu of me being spared, a thorn were to prick the foot of the Messenger of Allah." Abu Sufyan uncontrollably proclaimed, "By God, I have never seen any individual love another person as much as the companions of Muhammad love Muhammad." After this, Nastas martyred Zayd. Regarding this incident of this execution, as a Muslim out radiallahu anhu states, among the spectators was Abu Sufyan, chief of Mecca. Abu Sufyan turned to Zayd and asked, "Would you not rather have Muhammad in your place? Would you not prefer to be safe at home while Muhammad was in our hands?" Zayd replied furiously, saying, "What, Abu Sufyan, what do you say? By God, I would rather die than the Prophet should tread on a thorn in the street in Medina." Abu Sufyan could not help being impressed by such devotion. He looked at Zayd in amazement and declared unhesitatingly, but in a measured tone, "God is my witness, I have not known anyone love another as much as the companions of Muhammad love Muhammad. Regarding the martyrdom of Hazrat Khubayb, a historian writes, Hazrat Khubayb was under the charge of Hujair bin Ihab and was bound in the house of Haris bin Nawfal's sons. They treated Hazrat Khubayb very brutally. After witnessing their unlawful treatment, Hazrat Khubayb said, "No respectable nation keeps their captive in this way." Nonetheless, the hearts of the disbelievers were greatly affected by this. After this, they started to treat him well. Ibn Shihab says that Ubaydullah bin Ayaz told him that Haris's daughter mentioned that when they agreed to execute him, Khubayb asked for a razor. Thus, they gave him a razor. The daughter of Haris says, "At that time, while I was unaware, one of my children went to Khubayb, so he took hold of him." She says, "I saw that Khubayb had placed the child in his lap, and the razor was in his hand. Upon seeing this, I became extremely worried. Khubayb saw the worry on my face and said, 'You are scared that I will kill him. I am not someone who would do such a thing.' Muslims fulfill their vows and do not commit transgressions." The daughter of Haris used to say, "By God, I have never seen a captive greater than Khubayb." She then said, "I swear by God, I saw him one day and he was holding a bunch of grapes which he was eating. However, he was bound and shackled, and there were no fruits in Mecca during that season." She would say that this was a provision from Allah to Khubayb. When the Quraysh took them outside of the Haram, so they killed them in a place outside the sacred land, Khubayb asked for permission to offer 2 rakats of prayer. They granted him permission to do so. After offering 2 rakats of prayer, he said, "Had you not thought that I was praying at this moment as a result of fear, then I would have surely prolonged my prayer." Then he prayed to God, saying, "O Allah," in other words, he said, "Perhaps you suspected that I am prolonging my prayer as a means to escape. I have offered a short prayer so that you do not think that I have prolonged my prayer out of fear or to save myself. If it did not occur to me that you might suspect me for prolonging my prayer and had looked at me normally without any suspicion, perhaps I would have prolonged my prayer." Nonetheless, following this, he supplicated to his Lord and said, "O Allah, destroy them one by one," by referring to the enemies. He prayed against his enemies. Then Khubayb recited a few couplets which mean, "Now that I am being killed as a Muslim, I do not worry for which side I shall fall, as it is for the sake of Allah. I fall only for the sake of Allah, and if He so wishes, He can bless even the severed pieces of a body." Hazrat Mirza Bashir Masai writes about Khubayb's accounts in the following words: "These two companions were still in a state of captivity when one day Khubayb asked the daughter of Haris if he could be given a razor for his own personal use, and she gave him one. When Khubayb was holding this razor, a small child of the daughter of Haris happened to come over to Khubayb, playing here and there, and he placed him on his thigh. When the mother saw that Khubayb was holding a razor in his hand and a child was sitting on his thigh, she began to tremble and her face turned pale in fear. When Khubayb saw her, he understood that she was fearful and said, 'Do you think that I will kill this child? Do not think this. God willing, I shall never commit such an act.' Upon hearing these words, the faded countenance of the mother lit up. This lady was so deeply influenced by the high moral character of Khubayb that afterwards she would always say, 'I have never seen a prisoner as good as Khubayb.' She would also say, 'On one occasion, I saw a bunch of grapes in the hand of Khubayb, and he was picking grapes one by one and eating them. although there was no sign of grapes in Makkah during those days. And Khubayb was shackled in strong iron chains. She says, I believe that these were heavenly provisions which would come to Khubayb. Another narration describes the events surrounding their imprisonment with a slight difference. One narration about the imprisonment of Khubayb bin Adi states that Muawiyah was a freed slave girl of Hujair bin Abu Ihab. Khubayb was held captive in Makkah in their home, so that upon the completion of the sacred months, he could be killed. Muawiyah later accepted Islam, and she turned out to be a noble Muslim. Muawiyah would later recount, I swear by Allah the Almighty, I have not met anyone better than Hazrat Khubayb. I used to observe him through the opening of the door whilst he was chained. There was not even a single grape in the world that I could eat. That is, there were no grapes in that region. However, Hazrat Khubayb would be holding a bunch of grapes the size of a human head. In other words, a very large bunch. This did not happen just once. According to this narration, she saw him eating grapes many times. It was nothing but provisions from Allah Himself. Hazrat Khubayb would recite the Quran during Tahajjud, and the women would cry upon hearing it and feel sorry for Hazrat Khubayb. She says, one day I asked Hazrat Khubayb, O Khubayb, do you need anything? He replied, no. Although there is one thing, please give me some cold water to drink, and never give me any meat which has been slaughtered in the name of an idol. Whatever food you provide me, it should not be meat which was slaughtered in the name of an idol. Thirdly, inform me when the people are planning to kill me. She says, then, when the sacred months passed and people decided to kill Khubayb, I went and informed him. She says, I swear by Allah, he did not care about being killed. He said to me, send a razor for me, so that I may groom myself. She says, I sent a razor with my son Abu Hussein. The narrator says that he was not her real son, rather Muawiyah had only raised him. In any case, she says, when the child went, the thought occurred to me that by Allah, Khubayb has found his revenge. My son is with him, and he has a razor, and he will certainly exact revenge. What have I done? I have sent my child with a razor. Khubayb will kill him with a razor and say, a life for a life. I have taken my retribution. When my son reached him with a razor, he took it and playfully said to my son, you are very brave. Does your mother not fear my betrayal? She sent you with a razor for me, whereas you people have intended to kill me. Hazrat Muawiyah says, I could hear Khubayb saying this, and I said, O Khubayb, I have not feared you because I placed my faith in Allah, and having put my trust in your beloved, I sent my child to you with a razor. I did not send it to you so that you may use it to kill him. Hazrat Khubayb said, it is not like me to kill him. We do not consider betrayal to be allowed in our religion. She says, then I informed Khubayb that the next morning people would take him away in order to kill him. Then the next day he was taken in shackles to the Tan'im. And as mentioned, this was at a distance of 3 miles from Makkah. Many people, children, women, slaves, and people from Makkah had gathered there in order to witness the spectacle of Khubayb's killing. None of those who sought to exact revenge remained in Makkah. Rather, they had all left to see him in order to cool their eyes. And those who did not seek revenge but were opponents of Islam went there merely as a display of their opposition and pleasure to see how he would be killed. When Hazrat Khubayb was taken to Tanim along with Zayd bin Dathana, the polytheists ordered for a long piece of wood which was hollowed out, and when the people took Khubayb near the wood which was standing there, Khubayb said, Can I be given time to offer 2 units of prayer? The people responded in the affirmative. Hazrat Khubayb offered 2 short units of voluntary prayers and did not prolong them, as I mentioned earlier, so that they would not think he was extended his prayers in order to avoid death. According to the narrations just mentioned from Ibn Sa'd, Muawiyah was the freed slave of Hujair bin Abu Ahyab, in whose home Hazrat Khubayb was imprisoned. According to Allama ibn Abdul Barr, Hazrat Khubayb was imprisoned at the home of Uqba, and Uqba's wife would send him food and untie him when it was time to eat. In any case, these were the sacrifices of those people and their fearlessness of death. The companions were always ready to lay down their lives for the sake of Islam. I will mention the remaining accounts of this expedition in the future, God willing.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر